For almost 40 years, John Shulian wrote about sports and athletes for a variety of publications, and then he realized he was destined to create Xena, Warrior Princess, so he went to Hollywood and did that. And maybe all that stuff he wrote about heroic figures like Willie Mays, Joe Louis, and Joe Montana helped in that second career. In any case, some of John Shulian's best sports writing has been collected in Sometimes They Even Shook Your Hand, subtitled Portraits of Champions Who Walked Among Us, which is why John Shulian is joining me now from KPCC in Pasadena, California. John, welcome back to Only a Game.
Thanks, Bill. It's good to be here.
Sometimes They Even Shook Your Hand. The title is kind of wistful. Is wistful what you were going for?
Wistful or ironic? because they don't always shake your hand. The era that I cover primarily in this book is one when relations between athletes and sports writers were much different, were much more casual, looser, friendlier even.
You spent time with a number of these athletes in order to write about them over the years, but one of the longer stories in the book is about Oscar Charleston, the Negro League star who died in 1954. Tell us about some of the Oscar Charleston stories you heard from his former teammates and opponents.
Well, he was ferocious. He was either the black Ty Cobb or Ty Cobb was the white Oscar Charleston. Bill James actually ranks Oscar Charleston ahead of Ty Cobb in his player rankings. And what Ty Cobb must be spinning under the sod somewhere. I mean, this was a guy who slid into third base in a Cuban Winter League game one year, cut up the third baseman, and so infuriated a Cuban soldier who was in the stands that the soldier came out of the stands and fought Oscar Charleston right there on the ball field, right there at third base. They're slugging it out. He was marvelous. He played on the great Homestead Grays team with Josh Gibson and Cool Papa Bell and all those guys. And he played first base, and he started playing, I think, in 1915 or 1916, something like that. You know, and I end the piece. I'm sorry to rattle on like this, but I end the piece with Oscar pinch hitting for the Stars, and he's 54, 55 years old, whatever he was. And he hits a triple, and he's dying when he gets to third base, right? So the next hitter up hits a fly ball, and all the guys on the bench are saying, Oscar, just stay at third base. Oscar Charleston, 54 years old, tags up and goes for home plate, and he just destroys the catcher. Just the mask goes one way, shin guards are popping off, glove, ball, everything, and Oscar Charleston scored the run.
In 1977, you wrote about Walter Payton for the Chicago Daily News, and he said, among other things, "I don't think anybody could analyze me." Was he right?
As it turns out, yes. He had obviously a very complicated life, as the new Jeff Pearlman book points out.
Yeah.
You know, a tragic life. I mean, this was a guy who was clearly put on earth to be one thing, which was a football player. And after that, he was lost. When the Walter Payton I dealt with was a nice enough guy. I mean, for a superstar, he was incredibly approachable. You just couldn't get him to sit still. He was incapable of sitting still. He just had to be on the go all the time. So you'd walk with him out to his car, and you'd get three innocuous quotes, and you'd watch him drive away, you know? And the joy of Walter Payton was really watching him play. Because I never saw a better football player. I saw better running backs. But this was a guy who, great runner, obviously, devastating blocker, could catch passes, could throw passes. In college, he kicked off and kicked points after. He could punt. He could do anything.
You include a piece you wrote about Nolan Ryan for the National Sports Daily in 1990. Would you read just the first paragraph of that piece for us, please?
Well, with great trepidation, I will, Bill. I'm guilty. I think we should establish that right away. At a time I can't quite pin down in my previous life as a newspaper sports columnist, I did indeed write that Nolan Ryan had, quote, a heart like a blister, close quote. Oh, infamy. Oh, ignominy. Oh, what a dummy.
Tell us a little bit about how you came up with had a blister for a heart and then how you discovered you were wrong.
Well, okay. I think I took this horribly cheap shot at Nolan Ryan, and it was. And Nolan, if you're listening, I'm down on my knees and I'm begging your forgiveness. But, you know, it was in the heat of battle. I don't know what possessed me. You know, you always resort to a cheap shot or an easy line when you don't have any time to write. And I like to think that that was what produced that horrible line, heart like a blister. Actually, it's not a bad line. It just was pinned to the wrong guy. you know, and then the piece came about because I was finishing off a package of chocolate chip cookies. And at the bottom of it, they had a prize, and it was a baseball card of Nolan Ryan. And I looked at it, and I looked at his record, and I'm wiping the crumbs from my mouth. And I'm thinking, look at this record. This guy was a stud. I said he had a heart like a blister. I'm an idiot. It was a Proustian moment, actually. And you have very few of those in sports writing.
Are you okay with most of the rest of the stuff that you've said about athletes over the years?
Absolutely, yeah.
That was the only one you got wrong.
Well, I am human, Bill. Look, my policy was always no regrets. You know, I wrote a lot of tough things. The tough pieces are not in the book. This wasn't that kind of book. As a columnist, you're obligated to take stands on certain issues, certain people, and that was what I did. And certainly, the one column that was probably where I was the toughest was about a kid named Quentin Daly, who was the Bulls' number one draft choice in, I don't know what year, 82, 83, something like that. He'd been in a messy situation with some student nurse at the University of San Francisco and held her hostage and terrorized her, and was the most unrepentant creep I'd ever seen in my life. And so I gave him both barrels and wound up on Oprah Winfrey's show as a result, and now tried to make me his poster boy for 15 minutes. So I guess somebody thought I was right about Quentin Daly.
You include an appreciation of W.C. Hinds in this book, and in your appreciation, we hear Mr. Hinds as he looks over an anthology of his work, and he says, hey, this is pretty good. It's almost like he surprises himself. Is that what you feel when you read some of your stories from the 70s and the 80s and so on?
I'm proud of a lot of the stuff I did. I hate to sound vainglorious, but I really am. I mean, I really bled over a lot of these things. I was not a fast writer. I carved them in stone most of the time. I wanted every piece to be as special or as good as I could make it. And nobody cared if it took me 15 minutes to write or 15 hours. They just wanted something in the paper that was good, and that was what I tried to give them.
John Shulian's collection of sports writing is titled Sometimes They Even Shook Your Hand, Portraits of Champions Who Walked Among Us. The book is published by University of Nebraska Press, and the author joined me from KPCC in Pasadena. John, thank you very much for speaking with me.
It's my pleasure, Bill.
Only a Game is produced by Karen Given and Doug Trabu. Our technical director is John Ferrati. We had help this week from Tony Federico at NPR West and from Delal Pektus at WBEZ in Chicago. Thanks also to Badger Radio. Special thanks to Paul Veitkus. Our intern is Jillian Geib, and our senior producer is Gary Wallach. To view our Bobby Valentine photo gallery or learn more about this week's music selections, please visit our website, onlyagame.org. Our final word this week comes from John Shulian, who compares writing a daily column to, well, to this.
It really is. It's like being married to a nymphomaniac. As soon as you're finished, you got to start again.
I'm not going to touch that. I'm Bill Littlefield. Thanks for listening. I'll see you next week.
Support comes from the John D. and Catherine T. MacArthur Foundation, committed to building a more just, verdant, and peaceful world. More information at macfound.org. The Melville Charitable Trust, supporting solutions to prevent and end homelessness, on the web at melvilletrust.org. And the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, dedicated to the idea that all people deserve the chance to live healthy, productive lives, at gatesfoundation.org. This is NPR.